pressure is mounting on lawmakers to extend a federal moratorium on eviction. But billions of dollars in aid that's already been approved still hasn't reached those who need it.
Money has been slow to reach tenants because of complicated paperwork, documentation requirements that are very challenging for renters, and a lack of outreach or publicity to vulnerable communities.
We'll have the latest on the battle over benefits. Plus, as the Delta variant spreads, more businesses are asking people to mask up again. And New York City takes on food delivery apps. It's Monday, August 2nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Biden administration is launching a broad pressure campaign to find a way to extend the federal moratorium on evictions, which expired over the weekend. Administration officials say the CDC cannot extend the program that provides aid to renters and landlords without authorization from Congress, citing a recent Supreme Court decision. At today's White House press briefing, senior advisor to the president, Jean Sperling, said the administration has been reaching out to congressional leaders, local governments, and federal agencies.
The president has asked all of us, including the CDC, to do everything in our power to look for every potential legal authority we can have to prevent evictions. To date, the CDC director and her team have been unable to find legal authority even for a more targeted eviction moratorium that would focus just on counties with higher rates of COVID spread.
We'll have more on how the pressure is mounting on Congress to address the issue later in the show. Local lawmakers and businesses are revising their masking guidelines since the CDC announced on Friday that even vaccinated people may spread the highly transmissible Delta variant. In New York, elected officials are strongly recommending that people wear masks in indoor settings in public, even if they're vaccinated. Officials stopped short of mandating mask wearing, but Governor Andrew Cuomo urged businesses to require patrons to be vaccinated.
If you say to people, well, if you don't have a vaccine, you can't get into these establishments, then you'll see a real incentive to get vaccinated.
Other parts of the nation are also revising guidance. Louisiana and seven Bay Area counties in California will require people to wear masks indoors starting this week. Los Angeles and Sacramento counties have already imposed similar requirements. Once the Bay Area restrictions take effect, about half of Californians will be under mask mandates. Meanwhile, Target and McDonald's are the latest companies to announce that they'll require workers to wear masks regardless of their vaccination status in counties where there's a high risk of transmission. Like its rival Walmart, Target said it won't require customers in high-risk areas to mask up, but will encourage it. The moves come as officials learn more about breakthrough cases of people who test positive for COVID-19 despite being vaccinated. Among them is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who announced today that he has tested positive. Graham said he started feeling sick on Saturday night and describes his symptoms as mild, similar to a sinus infection. He said he believed his symptoms would be far worse if he had not been vaccinated and that he'll quarantine for 10 days. And we report that Reese Witherspoon is selling her media company Hello Sunshine to a firm backed by private equity giant Blackstone. The as-yet-unnamed firm will be run by former Walt Disney executives Kevin Mayer and Tom Staggs, and Hello Sunshine would be its first acquisition. The companies haven't disclosed the terms of the deal, but sources say it values Witherspoon's company, which is behind the HBO drama Big Little Lies and Hulu's Little Fires Everywhere, at about $900 million. Coming up, the fight to extend the federal eviction moratorium is intensifying.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi is facing increasing pressure from Democratic progressives to call the House back from August recess to extend a federal moratorium on evictions. The moratorium expired over the weekend after lawmakers were unable to advance a last-minute extension on Friday. The push intensified over the weekend when Missouri Representative Cori Bush, who has experienced homelessness, began sleeping on the steps of the Capitol on Friday night to raise awareness of the issue. Several more Democrats and other activists have since joined her.
This is not who our country should be. And the leaders in this country, the lawmakers in this country, we have to act. So we have asked for the White House and the CDC to work together. And we need an eviction moratorium. We've asked for House leadership to reconvene the House. Bring us back. Bring us back. We need to know that we have the 218 votes. Let's get this done.
Joining me now from Washington with the latest is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes. Hi, Siobhan. Thanks for being here.
Good to talk to you.
Siobhan, what is the latest you can tell us, especially about the pressure congressional leaders are under right now to call lawmakers back to Washington?
With the protest that Cori Bush single-handedly launched last Friday, Democratic leaders have come under much more pressure to try to find a solution. And right now, Nancy Pelosi is keeping her focus on the $47 billion in aid that's already been appropriated to help renters cover their rent that has largely been unused. On Tuesday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is going to be giving a briefing to lawmakers with the hopes of getting at how these lawmakers can prod their states and localities to get that money out faster to renters. Right now, only about $3 billion has gone out, and it's kind of gotten stuck or bottled up in the process. So basically, Nancy Pelosi is hoping to avoid a legislative solution and work things out behind the scenes.
And House Speaker Pelosi, as you mentioned, has called on states to step up their distributions of billions of dollars in federal aid. What exactly is going on there? Why is so much of this aid still being held up? Does any of it have to do with what renters and landlords need to show in order to get the aid and prevent abuse of this system?
So I checked with Princeton University's eviction lab about that, and they said largely money has been slow to reach tenants because of complicated paperwork, documentation requirements that are very challenging for renters, and a lack of outreach or publicity to vulnerable communities. So many renters don't even know to put in applications. And on top of that, some landlords haven't been interested in participating, which can be another barrier. So a whole thicket of really paperwork and documentation requirements that are hard for a lot of people to meet.
What about on the state end? What's the delay there in actually distributing the money?
Well, it varies from state to state. So when I went up to the Capitol yesterday, lawmakers told me that Texas, for example, has been very good at distributing aid. And that's because it set up a system to put the money directly into the pockets of landlords. But in other states, places like Missouri, for example, the aid isn't going out. And lawmakers are really flummoxed as to specifically what's going wrong in a state-by-state and jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction basis. They think part of it is the paperwork requirements, but they also worry there are other factors that they can't really identify or at play.
Siobhan, we seem to be in a very different position now than we were at the height of the pandemic. The employment situation has improved. More businesses have reopened. Where are we right now in terms of the threat of evictions across the country?
Right now, about 16% of adult renters live in households that are behind on rent payments. And that's more than twice the rate that the census showed in 2017, which was the last survey that took place before the pandemic. So that shows you the extent of the problem. We're still far better off than where we were at the peak of the pandemic. So the survey from June of 2020 showed that about 11 million people were behind on their rent. And that's higher than the 7.4 million people at the start of this past July. But that's still millions of households who can't pay their rent. And between 3 and 4 million renters think it's very likely they are going to be evicted this month.
As this is happening at the federal level, some states and localities, including New York and California, are stepping up their own local eviction moratoriums. In which states are people most likely to be impacted by the expiration of the federal benefits?
The U.S. Census data shows that this is largely in southern states. So Mississippi, South Carolina, Georgia, those are places where tenants are more likely to carry rent debt than in the U.S. And moreover, eviction laws and procedures in some southern states are also among the most landlord-friendly in the country. So for example, as my colleague Will Parker reported, in Mississippi, tenants can lose their eviction case in court and then be removed from their home on the same day. In Arkansas, landlords can pursue criminal charges for tenants who don't pay rent. And so those are some of the special issues in southern states.
Siobhan, Congress is under a lot of pressure right now to extend this moratorium. What are economists saying about the likely impact of this running out?
So I haven't seen anybody dispositively talk about how the risks of eviction might outweigh any benefits for small landlords who haven't been paid for a while. And it's basically just a bit of a balancing act because there are a lot of mom and pop owners of rental properties who haven't been able to get any rental income and yet are still on the hook for their own mortgage payments, their maintenance of properties. At the same time, you have tenants who owe a lot in back rent, haven't been able to get money to pay that off, and are struggling to find the paperwork necessary to process their applications to the extent they even know help is available. So this is a very delicate balancing act that varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and home to home.
That's Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Always good speaking with you.
And finally, the Big Apple is making some big changes to food delivery. Last week, the New York City Council passed 5 bills that aim to shift the balance of power away from delivery apps like Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber Eats, and towards the struggling mom-and-pop restaurants they work with. They include rules that would require apps to make a restaurant's direct telephone number accessible on platforms and prohibit them from charging restaurants for phone calls that don't result in actual transactions. But some rules are likely more consequential. One bill would extend temporary caps on the commissions apps can charge. And our tech columnist Laura Forman says another would give restaurants more access to their customers.
Perhaps the biggest bill that was passed, and it's a bit of a surprise, was a bill surrounding data. So assuming the bill goes into effect as planned, food delivery platforms in New York City are going to have to share eater data on a monthly basis with restaurants, which they haven't done thus far. That's big because that's going to enable restaurants to potentially be able to take their business elsewhere with their data or even service their eaters themselves. To date, they haven't even known necessarily where their orders are coming from, so now they will.
The apps are pushing back. New York makes up more than 10% of their entire market in the U.S. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.